Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you've called us to be true disciples, true Christ followers. And I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in the churches at the moment. I just pray right now for this message as it goes out, Father God, that you would do all that you would want it to accomplish in the hearts of your people. And I commit myself to you as a mouthpiece. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just need a sip of water. All right, so last time I spoke, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about being fruitful and the fruits of the Spirit and how God wants us to be fruitful because we are his disciples and he calls us to go out and make other disciples. But he wants us to have much fruit in our life. Why? Because it brings glory to him. And that's what it says in John 15:8. It says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be called my disciples." Because God isn't looking for people walking around saying, "We're Christians, we're this, we're that." He's looking for Christ followers and disciples who are fruitful. Now, talking about the fruits of the Spirit, you know, sometimes it can just be brushed off, oh yeah, the fruits of the Spirit, like a cliche, you know, love, joy, peace, da-da-da-da-da. But God doesn't want this to be a nice saying. He wants it to be evident in our life, not just being able to recite the scripture. He wants it to be evident in our life. So much so that if someone doesn't know your name, they should be able to describe you by your love. Can people describe the character of God through the fruits of the Spirit for the way you act? Even if they don't come in contact or even hear you speak, would they know that you're a Christian or that you're a Christ follower? Would someone look at your actions and say, wow, they're a patient person. They exhibit goodness and kindness. Gee, they've got a lot of self-control. That's what I believe God wants from us, that it would be evident in our life. Take a moment and ask yourself, what would people say about yourself? That's why we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? To allow him to work in our lives. Because if it's not evident enough, and I'm sure we can all work on this one, then we need the Holy Spirit. So did you know that way back in Genesis, the first command that God ever gave was to be fruitful? Have a look. His first commandment to humanity was to be fruitful. It says in Genesis 1:28, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply.'" Now, yes, that's like when you get married, you know, you got to multiply and there's pressure on, you know, when are you going to have your baby, etc. But it's just more than that. He wants us to be fruitful. And I believe it's not just about population and being fertile, it's about purpose. He wants us to be fruitful in our purpose. And in Galatians 5:22-23, we're going to read this, the fruits of the Spirit and what they are, what things need to be evident in our life. So, but the Holy Spirit, so take note there, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. And today I was going to start at love, but the Holy Spirit directed me. And I'm going to talk about probably the hardest one to understand because there's a lot to it when I realised when I was doing this. And today we're going to talk about self-control. Eek. Yep. If you want change in your life, then you really need to say, "God, open my heart." Because if we can get this thing together, a lot of stuff in our life can change. So self-control. Now, this one can throw us because it says self, okay, and control. Separate them. It's all about us, isn't it? So sometimes we think it's about us, but it's the fruit that is supposed to be produced. Is it by us or is it by the Holy Spirit? Who's actually producing the fruit? Is it me and my will? Me deciding to be just better? Me deciding to do this or that? Or is it the Spirit producing that self-control in my life. So I want us to look at our perception on this today. Because I think when most people say self-control, we think, oh, well, I just have to stop doing that. I just have to stop talking like that and stop saying cuss words, or I have to stop looking at that stuff that I really know I shouldn't be. I just need to have more control, more self-control. I just need to stop. But you know what? If you could have, you would have. So why are we still doing the things that we don't want to do? Because we all struggle with something, I'm sure. If we would have or could have stuck to that workout plan and getting fit, then we would have. If you could control your tongue, then you would have. And that's when I have to say, God, this has got to be more than just me controlling me, because there are certain things that I need to stop as well. So let's be honest, when we look at those, who's got at least two areas that they could improve on? Good. I see those hands. Okay, we'll start with two, okay, so that everyone's on the same page. So, cool. When we talk about self-control, it has to be something produced by the Holy Spirit. And I've wrestled with this. Can the Spirit produce this in us? How? Do we care, or have we really valued this? This is my point. We can just say, yeah, these are the fruits of the Spirit. But have we valued them, and are they evident in our life? We need to look at each one of these so closely. See, the majority of people that hear these words, they just hear the word control. And they think, it's taking away my freedom. And they don't do anything about it. Or they think they're being constricted or restricted. No one wants to think that they're losing control over something. So let's see what Proverbs said in 25:28. Solomon says here, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Now, in the time that this was written, the only way that you were considered safe in the city was if your city was surrounded by these big walls. And that the proverb is saying here that if a person does not have self-control, that you're like a vulnerable city with no walls, a city that your treasures can be taken. And when you do not have self-control, you can literally be plundered, stolen from, at any time by people's ideas, by hurts or actions from others, or by things that are happening around in your world. So this is really important that we have got to get some self-control. And again, in Proverbs 16:32, it's better to be patient than powerful, and better to have self-control than to conquer a city. That seems backwards from society today, because society tells us to conquer everything, to run everything, control everything, to be the city. But it's like if you're supposed to be in charge, especially of yourself, the way that you make it is being over people, don't you, and telling them what to do. But we have this attitude of no one's going to tell me what to do. But here it's saying it's better to have mastered this. And the Greek word for self-control means mastery. So we need to master it. So it's better to have mastery of yourself than be able to tell everyone else what to do. I mean, you know yourself, there's nothing worse than someone tell you, you know, how to raise your kids or how to do this or how to do that, when you can see quite clearly that they haven't got that all together themselves. We can want all the self-control, but it's not produced by you. It's going to be produced by the Holy Spirit. See, the word control means to have power over, influence, direct people's behaviour in course of events. So the question is, what's controlling you? You might say, well, no, I'm in control. Nothing's controlling me. Then why is that for me, that when I decide to eat healthy or lose weight, I eat more? Does anyone else do that? I'm just being honest. As soon as I decide, I'm going to get healthy, I'm going to walk, I'm going to eat less, I eat more, and I don't walk. So what's controlling you? Is it food? Is it sex? Is it money? Is it the opinions of others? Is it fear? Is it people-pleasing? You've got to be honest with yourself here. And I began to ask myself this question, what was controlling me? And it really made me think seriously about this. Way back when my kids were little, they wanted a little gaming thing, you know. Back then it was Atari, and you used to shoot little things going across the screen. You know, then there's Nintendos, and I don't know, they go from bigger to bigger. And I don't know much about them, but what I do know is that young people these days, there's a crisis, an amazing level of addiction in these games. And you know what is common in all these? They all have a controller. So they're all controlled. So no matter how much we upgrade in life or we get older, we think we don't have to worry about these things. But we do. We need to take serious consideration of this. So there's two things that control you in life, only two. And the first one, the fight of your life is between sin control and spirit control. And that's it. That's the fight of your life. You're fighting the spirit control, the Holy Spirit, or the wrong spirit control. So it's about getting revelation that there are two controllers in your life trying to fight for you. Only two. So it's either being controlled by sin and your sin nature and what your flesh wants, or it's being controlled by the Spirit and what God wants for your life. And we can prove that in the scriptures of Galatians 5:17, which says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit, whichever that Spirit is, gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Because we do. We start off with good intentions. And there it is. It's like a boxing ring. In this corner, you're fighting for your life, your future, your purpose, and your destiny from sin control. Because you know what? Satan has undefeated people in your family that were called to be something, and he made them nothing, and they live in doubt, and they live in fear, and they're in bondage, and there is sexual perversion, etc., etc., etc. And it's coming after us. And it wants to go down the generations. And in the other corner is the challenger, the spirit control. And he has purposes for your life, plans for your life that are good, that were put in you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He wants to make your name great and lift you up and make you a spectacle for the glory of God. And in the middle of these two corners is you. And every day that you wake up, there are two controllers fighting for your mouth and the words that are going to come out of it, for your eyes and what you might look at, for your ears to choose what you're going to listen to, for your body. As soon as you wake up, you need to make a decision. Who is going to control your life? Here's some more definitions. So sin control is making decisions based on what feels natural to your flesh. You have to see that we have to stop listening to our feelings. Feeling this way, I don't like that, I feel this. We make decisions based on our feelings. Anytime you say the word feeling, it's your flesh speaking. This is a sin-infused bodysuit that's telling you what you want, but it's going against your purpose. Like I said, when I go out for coffee, a cake will jump out in front of me all the time. I like it when I go with someone that says, no, I'm not having anything, Sue. No, I'm not eating cake. Okay, I won't either. That helps me. But we need to make a decision. Am I going to be led by my feelings which will lead to a path of destruction because you do what feels right, you do what feels natural and what your flesh is telling you. And in that scripture in Galatians 5:17 that we just read, it warns us that the sinful nature wants to do evil for you. It has a nature that gives you desires. Desire, because then we desire things and we want things and that desire grows. And the sinful nature is fighting for control. And the other nature is the spirit controlled. And this is what it means. It means making decisions against yourself. Being spirit controlled is the most practical term in making decisions against my natural self. Because my natural self wants to be selfish. So the opposite of being selfish is to be generous. And God wants us to be led by the Spirit. So it's about making decisions against yourself. I found this poem. It says, two natures beat within my breast. One is foul and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. Because quite often if we've got something in us that's of the sin nature, we hate it. We don't want it. We don't want it there. And the harder we try, just like me in the cake with coffee, the harder I try, the worse I am at it. So what are you feeding? Because you're giving priority to the one who will control you. Don't ever forget that there's two things warring for your life every single day, every single hour, and sometimes every single moment. And who gets to decide? So you get to decide which one you will choose. Okay. Self-control is about you not being in control. And then the second thing is self-control is the opportunity for you to choose who will let you... Say that again. Self-control is the opportunity for you to choose who you will let control you. You see, we have a plan to stop eating too much or stop drinking too much or whatever your plan might be. Yours may be something completely different, like prideful or judgmental. All these things are led by the sinful nature. And God does not want you to be controlled by this nature that keeps winning in you. So self-control is the opportunity for you to choose who you will let control you. And actually, it all started when we were born. We were born into flesh, into sin. And the Bible tells us that we are born with a sin nature already. So you don't have to, as you know, teach a baby to say no or chuck a wobbly or mine. That comes natural. It's our nature when we're born. And Adam and Eve sinned, and the Bible tells us that it produced sin for all mankind. So this is where everybody starts off. And the sad thing is we didn't have a choice back then. Before we knew Jesus, this was all we knew was selfish. It's to find satisfaction for our flesh, self-centeredness. And the worst thing is it leads to death. And the Bible's clear again in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the power of the gospel to salvation, is when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you get the opportunity now to choose because another nature has been presented to us for the first time. And sadly, when you become a Christian, you would just think these things would go, these desires would go, but no, they don't. They don't. He sent his Son to give us freedom because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You see, when you're lost in darkness and before you accept Jesus, you didn't have a choice of freedom. But now we have the ability to choose, and that's the definition of freedom. As most believers think when you receive Jesus, I think I said that, we just think these things will go away, but they don't. It never happens like that. As a matter of fact, the enemy knows our future and he can come in stronger in those times. So have you ever been one of those where you thought, yep, that'll be gone, but they don't, and as we know, improved. That's why God actually put the tree of knowledge in the middle of the garden, because it's slavery if you don't have a choice. He gives us choice, free choice. I wish he'd twist my arm sometimes, but he doesn't. And he said, love is a choice. And the only reason that you can that you know that someone loves you or that you're loved is if they have a choice to love you. If they have an option, that's how we know we're loved, because someone chooses that. That's how we know God loves us, because he chose us. So this battle now for your life is every day. And some people are controlled, as I said, by their desires. And then the desires grow and they lead to exploring things. And then it becomes a habit. So the desires, it starts back there with a desire. And if I knew that, or if people, I'm sure if you knew that way back, that little desire, if we cut that off then, we may not have got to exploring and to our habits. So when you put into what you put into yourself leads to the life that you choose. Being led by the flesh leads to death, death of your purpose, death of your plans, death of the call of God on your life. And there's so many people walking around who are dead because they are controlled by the flesh. Whatever feels good, whatever I desire, whatever I explore in the habits that I have. But we know there's a better option, and it's being spirit controlled, and you get to choose. Look what the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 13. Today, doesn't matter what I did yesterday, today I've given you the choice between life and death, blessings and cursings, and now I can call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, it's like God pleading, oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. It's like he's begging us, he's egging us on, come on, choose life, it's in front of you. Not just for right now, but for your descendants, that they would have the opportunity to see someone who's living a spirit-filled life. And I'll finish with these two slides. Self-control is your opportunity to choose who's going to control you. The Holy Spirit loves you. And so here we see S is for spirit, E is for empowered, L is for life of, and F is for faith and freedom. And that will produce control in your life. This is what God offers you all. You can have sin, empowered, life of flesh, and that will control you too. But that will lead to death. So when you think of self-control now, when you're thinking about the fruits of the Spirit, self-control is a biggie. As I said a few weeks ago, I believe that love and self-control are the bookends of all the ones in the middle. And if we can get the love walk right, and I know that you are a great people of love, I know that, and we're a church that loves. But if we can get our self-control and our self-discipline, and if we can choose and allow the Holy Spirit to outwork these things in our life, things will just go, because what we feed will grow. Amen. Amen. So, Father, I just want to thank you right now that we